Father, it's your blood that set us free tonight. Lord God, it's your blood that made a way for us to even worship. God, it's your blood that made a way for us to even stand here and to have life. Lord, your blood, it washes me, it makes me clean, it sets my heart right, it gives me hope and it gives me love. And tonight we celebrate your victory. We celebrate your amazing gift of the cross. And God, it is my prayer and earnest hope that as the rest of this service goes forth, we remember the amazing gift of your blood. And God, that for the rest of this night, this atmosphere and presence of worship continues, God. That as I get ready to speak, Lord, I'm not saying anything that you wouldn't have me to say, God, but just what you want. That lives might be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand tonight, and it's by that name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen and hallelujah. You guys, if you don't mind, we're going to shift a little bit. If you could sit in the first five rows in the two center sections, that would be amazing. And if you're sitting somewhere else, if you don't mind, just to go ahead and move on up with us. Parents, you can kind of hang out around the back, but I want everyone else up in here. Ben, thank you guys so much for doing an awesome job tonight. I usually don't do stuff like this, but I want to give them a round of applause. Thank you, Ben. Good job. I very rarely, you'll hear me, even if you know me very well, you'll very rarely ever see me clap. I just don't do it. Not out of like some ingratitude, but just, I don't know, it's a habit. I grew up Southern Baptist, and so if someone made a noise, it was either our choir director, Wayne, who got tickled every once in a while and yelled Jesus, or someone was dying. So not being offensive to anyone here. So I came to an atmosphere in which we clap and sing loudly. It just never caught on to me. One of my friends, I took him to Baptist church one time, and we're sitting there after they sing a song, and all of a sudden he just... Everybody in the church looked at him. Now I'm speaking very traditional Southern Baptist. My family is Southern Baptist. Love them to death. Thank you so much for coming out tonight and hanging out with us. I just registered this a minute ago. I've not formally introduced myself. You're like, who is this guy talking? Well, my name is John Campbell. I'm the youth pastor here at Alive Youth. If you're in Maryville or William Blount, just look for me. You'll see me at your lunches. I'm there every single week. William Blount, I failed you guys this week, though. Work came up 2 days in a row. Sorry about that. Hey, I was there, though. So we're even. She says I failed Maryville the week before. Does anyone remember about last Alive Night, Matt, what I have spoken about? Anyone remember what last night about? Chancey Straley. Unmute. Dupree, what about it? Good deal. Kristen, what was the thing that you come up with about the singing? Singing the lullaby? She sent it to me. She forgot it. If you're not speaking the word, then you're singing a lullaby for people to death. Tonight, though, I'm going to forewarn you, this is something that's probably going to be the most crazy thing I've ever spoke about at a live night. It's going to be the most intense thing I've ever talked about. Now, the reality of it is as simple as those two words. Turned back. Turned back. Now, Zach Rayborn elegantly pointed out, he said, John, the arrows are going different directions, but I want you to notice something. Almost every single arrow had an innate shift in direction in that picture, and that's about the best picture I could get to depict it. Every arrow was going a certain way. There's a couple that stayed straight, but they're hidden in the background. The important ones have shifted directions. Tonight I'm going to talk about a turn. Tonight I'm going to talk about turning back to God. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to go Old Testament. I like the Old Testament. It's good stuff. I preach almost probably 60 to 70% of my stuff out of the Old Testament. I've went in the New Testament for a while now. That's just where I felt the Lord had me. But turn to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to talk about a man named Josiah. Started being king at 8 years old. Did some amazing stuff with his life. Anyone in here under the age of 10? I know you guys got one back there. Raymond, it's okay. Chesney says he acts like it sometimes. But imagine being king at 8 years old. We're going to talk about this guy's life, and we're going to talk about how turning back is something that this generation needs to do. 2 Kings 23, verse 25. One verse. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. I'll be talking tonight about turn back. And a context below that, you could say, turn from idolatry to God. Ooh, big word, right? It's going to be a little bit crazy. You know, we live in a nation to where what we're doing right now is considered uncool. But in other countries, people are so interested in doing what we're doing right now, they readily lay down their lives to do it. We live in a nation to where they say Christianity has now fallen to the decline. But in other countries, tens of thousands in the country of China come to the Lord every single week. And in countries like Nigeria, in the last 10 to 20 years, in one singular service, 3.2 million came to Christ. Confirmed decision, written out, handwritten cards confirmed. We live in a nation to where this is considered unpopular, to where you could very readily be made fun of for being a Christian. But in other nations, people don't care the mockery, the beatings, the persecution. I heard a story once of a pastor in China who carried a backpack on his back because he knew he would be arrested for what he was doing. I think he was jailed 18 times. And he said, you know, they tortured us one time, but it was only our feet. Imagine, I don't know what in the world they might have done to his feet, but just to say it was just our feet, he got tortured a little bit. It's nothing, man. Carries a backpack with a pillow and some shoes on him so when he gets arrested and goes to jail, he can be prepared. Do you know that they say statistically, 4% in this room tonight, we have 79 people. Statistically speaking, only 3 to 4 people within the next 10 years out of this room will be a Bible-believing, professing Christian, a Christian that says these following things. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, made the path to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. Jesus Christ never sinned on this earth. And the Father God is eternally existent in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only 4 people, luckily, might be out of this room, a Christian. Did you know that in the last year, 4,000 churches closed in this nation? 10.93 churches close every single day. About every 2 hours, a church closes its doors, never to open again in this nation. Luckily, 1,000 got planted back. That's 2.73 a day. You know, in the last year, 2.7 million Bible-believing Christians walked away from church not to return back, proclaiming that they had been hurt, misled, and abused in some way by church people, Christians. They felt betrayed by hypocrisy. That's the common denominator. And you know that half of the churches in the United States of America in the last 2 years did not gain a single person. In 1 year, 50% of our churches in this nation did not get a single person. Now that is unimportant because I'm not interested in the statistics anymore. You see, it's really easy to hear these things and say, well, Jesus is on the way out. It's terrible. It's over. No, it's not. I say it's time for a turn in this nation. People say, well, the Lord's just going to come back. Things are over. No, I think not. Yes, the Lord will return, but I think he has a revival sitting and waiting to happen right now. I say it's time for a turn. I say it's time for a turn in the days when they say 4% of kids will become Christians in the next 10 years. No, I say there's a day coming when it's going to be all kids might become Christians. Because the mandate of God is this, that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Note that every single knee, every knee will take a bow to his name. And if you choose to acknowledge him in this life, that's your business, and you can spend eternity with him. But if you choose to reject his name, he will say, depart from me, for you never knew him, but you will bow to his glory, and you will one day see his majesty. I've told everyone, I promise you, a conversation with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, face to face. I promise each and every one of you. But one day, after you give an account of the things of your life, my question is where you'll be spending the rest of the time after your conversation. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14 simply says this. It's famous. We know it quite a bit. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is very difficult, and a few ever find it. You see, it might seem bleak right now. It might seem dark, but there's still a way. The highway to hell, not highway, no, not that. The highway to the literal place. People don't like to hear about it anymore. You know, that they say churches are taking that word out of their vocabulary to say hell is a bad thing. No, it's a place, and it's very real, and it's eternal punishment, eternal wrath from God. It's not a place that you want to go, you know what I'm saying? But with that said, I want to skip back to this story. You see, there was this young man, his name was Josiah. And at 8 years old, it became his role to take the throne of his nation. Could you imagine becoming president of the United States of America at 8? You are 8 years old and running an entire nation. 8. Now, I'm sure he had advisors. I'm sure he had help. But this young man, something amazing happened. You see, in this land, Israel, God's place, they once worshiped God. You know, they were once known as the people set apart by His presence. The people that miracles happened where they were at. That seas parted when they walked up to Him. That when people were bit and hit with diseases, they were cured because God cared about them. And God defeated nation after nation after nation so that they could get a land of their own. They were once known as that. As that. Josiah takes the throne, and let me tell you what his world was like. On every corner was an idol to a false god. There is one God, and his name is Jehovah, and the people once knew that. And I'm not going to describe to you the disgusting nature of some of these idols, but they were placed everywhere. And you would think in the very place that God was said to live in his temple, that people wouldn't mess with it. They had completely filled it with these idols. People had gotten so far away, they had lost God's word. They didn't even have the Bible. They didn't have the first part, the Torah. They had lost the law. So they were doing their own things, living their own ways. God wasn't speaking. God wasn't blessing. Few people even truly worshiped the Lord anymore. And it was almost a surprising thing to see someone who said, I don't worship idols, I worship God. That was a seldom seen thing back then. Then all of a sudden the people are working on the house of God, the very place that God was said to live, the very place that his name was to be praised, the very place that it said that he spoke with men. A place full of desecration and idols. And all of a sudden they were remodeling one day and boom, a wall busted in and they found the law. They found the first part of the Bible we call the Torah. And they were so amazed by what it said, they ran to the king. And they showed it to him. And everyone was freaking out because the way they were living, thinking they were right, was so drastically apart from what God had said in his word. And you know what happened? This young man, he did an amazing thing. I'm here to tell you, if you're in here, I don't care how young you are. I don't care how insignificant that you think that you are. You have the opportunity to change your world. This young man, he could have took this Bible, this part of the Torah, he could have took it and said, well, I like the way that I live. He said, no, God says different. And you know what he did? He systematically went out, he had them read the word. How many people read their Bibles anymore? Most of the times nowadays when we find Bibles, we have to pull one of these numbers, hit it a couple times to get the dust off of it. And they started reading it, and an amazing thing happened. Revival broke out. People's hearts started getting changed. And you know what they started doing? They started going through their nation and tearing down every single thing that did not reflect what their God had said. He said, I'm not going to stand anymore to see this nation desecrated. I'm not going to stand anymore to have idol worship. I'm not going to let my God's house get defiled. Flip back to your world. You know, I'm fully convinced that on Sundays for football, sporting events, television has way more worshipers than the church does. I can go to a sporting event, and let me tell you honestly why I don't like going to them. Especially at the school that I used to go to, well, still go to, not Grant, this isn't a rock at him, but we would go to the basketball games, and I loved it because I got to yell at people. Does anyone like yelling? We were at a wrestling game a while back. Let me tell you what. No one was doing anything. And her brother, Melissa, my girlfriend's brother, was wrestling. All of a sudden, I go, drop him on his head. Everybody got mad. Her dad was like, I hate you. I was like, I really don't care. But he didn't say he hated me. He just wouldn't talk to me. And so I was like, congratulations, you have an opinion. So I had a fun time. I was cheering it up. I used to go to these basketball games, and they'd get up to the free throw line. I learned this from one of my best friends, Josh Inland, who pastors in South Carolina now. They get up to shoot a free throw. He'd go, bat, 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 bat. And some of you guys are like, what in the world is this guy doing? At women's games, let it be. Everyone's quiet. She misses it. It's like, but okay. But you go to these sports games, and you see people cheering. Oh, 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 oh. You know, the Florida State thing, okay? All these people cheering, abandonedly worshiping and screaming out to their sports team. But yet I could go to the same service in the same place and watch people sit in a church service and sit there with their hands on their side, quietly staring off in oblivion, texting on their phones or doing their homework. And it disgusts me. I'm not saying sports is bad. I love sports. I'm more of a golfer myself. Don't hate me. But I love football. It's fun to play. And all these things are good. But it amazes me how our nation has perverted these things. That we can get more worship for football, for baseball, for basketball than we can get in church. And people come into God's house, well, if they even do anymore, and be afraid to worship God. But we can lift up these idols. You know, anyone know the show American Idol? Okay, Simon's left. I've heard it's different. I don't know. Any input on that? It's better. Okay, it's better now. Well, I'm going to talk about some American idols. I'm not going to talk about, now for you guys who are American Idol fans, we actually have Kristen who tried out, but I prayed she wouldn't get in, so she didn't. So she went to try out for American Idol. I was like, Lord, she's our worship leader. She's got a good voice. Let her use it for the kingdom. Simon says no. I'm just kidding. It's like, I'm just kidding, Kristen. But we have some American idols. We have some things in this nation that have become things that we put so much attention to. Do you know what an idol is? It is anything that gets more attention than God. It is anything elevated to a higher stance than God in your existence, to God than your life. Your idol can be something simple. It could be playing football. It could be fishing. It could be hunting. Anything that gets more attention than God in your life. And my question is, have you put some things above Him? Let me tell you what some of my idols are. Sports. Sports are fun. People worship it. I hear this story of a guy naming his kids Crimson and stuff and going and desecrating Tumor's Corner in Auburn, thinking he's cool. It amazes me how people are so devoted to something that isn't even going to matter in the gates of eternity that you're going to name your children after it. Alabama fans, I'm not throwing a rock at you. I heard Alabama fans rejected him anyway. So, Tide for Tumors. Popularity. Isn't that fun? Every single thing in your school, it's amazing. And I'm quoting this from a pastor that I really like. When you're in high school, it all matters about that cool kid, right? You want to be cool. You want to get attention. But when you're my age, they're usually getting fatter. They're lazy. They have no college degree. And they work at McDonald's and flip my burgers. So let me tell you what. Cool doesn't matter in eternity. And the pastor specifically said, when you're 28, they're going to be fat, bald, and divorced. Wow. Let's be cool. You know what I'm saying? But we worship these things. Kids are so distraught about not being killed, they put guns in their mouths and kill themselves. We worship this. Let's be cool. Let's be popular. We worship it. We praise it. Where's God? Where's He at? Do we forget Him? Do you know you're sitting in this room because some men and women out of history decided they wanted to worship God and come to a place where they could worship Him freely? You know that you're even sitting here right now because of that. That you have the opportunity to be here at this church at this night because some men and women in history said, I'm not going to live for what these people are saying. I should. I want God. And if I have to move halfway around the world, I'll do it. We call them pilgrims. Puritans. Let me tell you some other idols. Homosexuality. That's one. Does this church stand against it? Yes, it does. Do we love people who are embracing that lifestyle? Yes, we do. Do I choose to compromise my standards because you want to live life the way you want? No, because Jesus doesn't. It's became cool. You walk through the halls of William Blount High School and you see two girls making out. Really? It's become an idol. We worship it. We praise it. It's good. I kissed a girl and I liked it. We put those songs on. We don't even think what we're doing. We worship these things. But where is our God? Where does He register in your existence? We're moving on the highway to hell in this nation. It's broad. It's beautiful. I taught a lesson one time and I said, welcome to the highway to hell. Get you a cigar and sit in a Ferrari. We'll take you straight back. You'll live the life of luxury and just wait till you get behind the gate. But you want to take the path Christ has for you. It's more like put on your hiking boots and walk through the woods. But I can tell you at the end of that trail, there's something called life. And I can tell you behind the other door, door number two, there's a place called hell. I wasn't going to speak about hell, but I really felt like the Lord laid that on my heart. I spoke about it the last couple weeks. I just want people to know that this is a place that it's very real, that I don't want you to go there. God doesn't want you to go there. It wasn't made for you. It wasn't something that was intended for your life. His will is that you come to a repentance and that you know Him and that you worship Him and that there's no idols above His name in your life. But if you choose to reject His marvelous grace, then He has to hold true to what He said. It's time that we turn back to God from these idols. It's time that we get our Jesus back from the American dream. It's time that we're turned back in this county. It's time that we start getting more people worshiping God than some stupid sporting event, than some stupid rock concert, than some stupid idiotic television show. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm not advocating this type of holiness where we don't have fun. I'm saying that what is controlling your life? I can take, if you write out what you do each day, I can tell you where your heart is. How much time you spend on Facebook? Lord checks me on that stuff. John, how much time do you spend on the internet? How much time did you spend talking to me today? Lord, I spent an hour to 2 hours. What did you spend talking about? Like 30 minutes? That's messed up. We need to turn back to God. I'll tell you some other idols real quick. Love. Love. L-O-V-E. Guys and girls, this is a detour. In the words that Alex Whatley likes, this is for free. You're not in love if you're 15. I'm sorry, you're not. That's become our idol. I'm in love! Once again, kids kill themselves over that. You know that? 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds. You know that they say that, and this is going to be a touchy card, but we're so devoted to this idea of love. You know what love flashes in people's mind? The word sex. Sex is not love. Has not. That's just, it's amazing how Satan can come into our world and pervert what God has. We worship love. We want it. Valentine's Day is the biggest thing. We're so interested in the opposite sex. But my question is, do you spend more time on your girlfriend than you do the creator of the universe? Do you spend more time on your boyfriend than you do the God who made your boyfriend? It's time we turn back to God. It's time He gets first place. I wrote on my notes, the lost way. Now you see, this all sounds really bad and really mean. You're like, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. Going to hell. Trust me. Hold on just a second. That's the way we were going. Step by step, this nation headed towards a place called hell, thinking the entire time they were completely right. Being good, by the way, doesn't get you there. Walking towards the unknown. Then all of a sudden, in Josiah's day, something happened. There was a turning point that all these numbers, 4,000 churches a year, 4,000, 11 a day, getting shut down. There comes a point when we stop and we say no. That we say we're going to seek You, God. That we say we're going to turn. We're no longer going to let culture dictate our identity. We're no longer going to let sports get our worship as we lift our hands in praise to it, but we're going to spend time worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There comes a time in which we say there's a turning point. There comes a time in which we say no longer will we obsess our lives over being cool, but we know that the Lord approves of me. And so if he approves of me, I'm loved, my life is right. That's my turning point. There comes a time in which getting money, having good times no longer matters. That we say, I don't care about having money and good times because I look at what it costs me. People killing themselves, losing their virginities, doing all this evil stuff. Do you know what you get when you get that hurt and pain? We say, no, we're turning. There was a turning point. They found the Word of God and everything changed. Tonight I'm going to introduce you to the Word of God. Tonight I'm going to give you a turning point. Tonight I'm going to give you a chance to say, I'm going to turn in the path that I was going and I'm going to move towards where God is at. This is a turning point. It's time we get turned back to God. Just because some people say this place isn't a Christian nation doesn't mean it isn't. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I'm in this nation. It's not over yet. Say that with me. It's not over yet. One more time. It's not over yet. It's what we've got that mindset of. If you call yourself a Christian in here, it's easy to get discouraged by these numbers. It's easy to see times in which things aren't going well, or things aren't growing in your life, or with your church, or all these things are moving around. And it's hard. It's so easy to get discouraged. But sometimes, if we could just look past these things, our eyes, and start seeing what God has to say. The days of mixed worship are over. We've had this idea that we can do this, that we can have idols in our heart and we can have Jesus. You know, it's what I want, right? It's what I need, right? I get what I want. God's wanting me happy. By the way, if anyone's ever told that to you, they're a liar. God is not. I mean, yeah, God wants you happy. It's his will that good things come into your life. But people are like, I want to do this. God wants me happy. Like, no, he doesn't. He wants you to live by this book, his word. And if it makes you uncomfortable that you don't get what you want, I'm sorry. He doesn't compromise. Who likes someone who shifts around and backstabs? That one week is your friend, that the next week is your enemy, that they flip-flop, you never know what they're going to do, but that's how we want our Jesus. We want our Jesus to say, Lord, you love me, but I want your love, but I don't want your wrath. I want you to be in my life, but I don't want you to say, only me belongs in your life. This isn't Burger King. It's not have it your way. This is Jesus Christ. Personally, I know when I was younger, I didn't want flip-flopping. When I came to church and they told me these things, it attracted me. Because in a world of conditionals and possiblys, Jesus says, I'm there. And he stands. You see, the turning point is right now. The days of mixed worship are over. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, I believe verse 4, for you were neither hot nor cold, yet lukewarm, I've spit you out of my mouth. It's time that we get ironed out. It's time that we get solidified on the Word of God. It's time that we get real. It's time that we get things out of our heart that block us from him. It's time that we turn towards God. You know, there's no room. There's no more room in your heart but for one God. I don't know what yours is. I don't know what you've elevated to the highest importance in your life. I have to check myself. I enjoy rock climbing. I enjoy working on muscle cars. I enjoy caving. I enjoy all these outdoors things. But I have to stop myself and I have to sit there and I say, what's your number one, John? What's your number one? What's important to you? What matters at the end of the day? What matters? You see, the turning point that I'm talking about here, if you got your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 16. It says this. Wow, that's loud. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what you do benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all the people according to their deeds. And I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Key in on the first part. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me. Now you thought that things were a little bit edgy. Now, I got everyone with me? Yes. Yes. We're still there? A little bit longer. Is this boring you to death? I would hope not. I could come in here and have Xboxes and pizza and give you games, but you would be happy, but what does that really matter? I would rather inform you than entertain you. Some churches in America have the mindset that we're to entertain our congregations, not to uplift them and inform them. Those days. Who knows the word Christian? If you heard the word Christian in your life, raise your hand. Okay. Who thinks they know what the word Christian means? And specifically, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want what you think it means and what does it cost you to be a Christian as the second part. I'm going to get Zach. What do you have to say? What does it cost you to be a follower of Christ? What's the price of being a Christian? Do you? Zach reads minds. Stuff. Of this world. Okay, decent answer. Jamie? What? Cost you everything. Alex, I'm coming to you guys. You guys stole our statement. What do you got? It's free, but it costs you everything. Good deal. I like that. You guys go to Disciple Now together? You guys go to Disciple Now together? Good deal. Kristen. Gives you a new one. Okay. Any more? There's no wrong answers. Having faith in Christ. To be a Christian, you got to have faith in Christ. See, that's part of it. What would it cost you to have faith in Christ? What's it going to cost you, John? Possibly your friends and your family is what he says. Anyone else? At all costs. I like that. Anyone else? In the back, parents, anything? Gaining's part of it. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, he's right next to me. Anyone else? Any takers? Everyone's so quiet. I seriously wonder sometimes, I must be that boring when I speak. Because like every time I try to get people to speak, they're like, dude, he like speaks so loud, I think he's going to bite my head off. Ross? Being a Christian is to have the most intimate relationship you can possible with the most powerful being ever. Did I get that right? Zach? Changed my, he's got a Romans 12:1 going on back there. Yeah. Romans 12:2 then. Sorry, I got corrected. I'm wrong. At least I'm not misspelling words on my PowerPoints anymore. So Zach, repeat that for us. Christ-like. Now see, for those of you who know me, I was wondering who was going to say that first off. But you see, you have a way right now. So, now, keep interacting with me, okay? So we've got a way. Now, we've talked about the fact that this nation is headed on a path towards destruction. Churches close day by day. People walk away from God day by day. Things look bad. Things are rough. We have idols. Things look bleak. When is something going to happen? Freeze. Now, I've walked over here once before. The only thing that will ever change this nation is to turn back to this man named Jesus Christ. To follow Jesus Christ, to be a Christ-like person, is to, one, have the most intimate relationship with your life with the creator of the universe. It is to give your everything to him, and it will cost you everything. It's free, but it's going to cost you everything. You're going to get some stuff in return. But you see, I think part of the reason why we're in the place that we're at, we've missed what being a Christian is about. For those of you who are brave and who spoke, I thank you for your definitions and I thank you for your faith. And I thank you for the ability to voice what you felt in your heart. And I'm saying all those things you said bring up a decent picture, a pretty good picture of what being a Christian is about. But can I introduce you to the man that's going to change this nation? Can I introduce you to the guy who waved this universe into existence, that provided us a way to even get to know God through, oh, the blood of Jesus washes me clean. Can I tell you about what it means to be a Christian? That it's going to cost you everything, but it's free. You see, we've missed what it means to be a Christian because we think we can have idols and we can have Jesus. We can hold a beer bottle in one hand and hold the Bible in the other. No, you cannot. This is a turning point tonight. This is a turning point for Blount County. This is a turning point for Loudoun County, for Knox County, for Monroe County. This is a turning point for East Tennessee. When we stand up and we say, no longer will we stand for idols, we will stand for Jesus. Can I tell you what it's going to cost you? For any of you who wants to be my follower, you take up your cross and follow me. If you want to keep on to your life and hold on to it, you will lose it. But if you let go of it, you will gain it. We need to understand what it means to let go of our life. Do you know what this word means right here? This word. To let go of your life. Let me find it right here. To destroy. To put out of the way entirely. To abolish and to put an end to. To render useless. You want to be a Christian. You need to render useless every other single thing but Jesus in your life. You need to render every other single thing as costless. You see, rock climbing is good, but it does not dictate my existence. It is costless in the gates of eternity. It is useless. It is nothing. I render my old life useless. We want to see a change nation. You want to see a change school. It starts when you turn your heart from every other thing and turn it straight into the eyes of God. It's time we turn to Him. It's time that other things stop getting His worship. It's time that other things stop getting your attention. You see, the Bible says He is a jealous God. Oh, how He wants you to notice Him. He wants your attention. He wants your time. He wants you to give you everything. But tonight is all about a turn. Now, you see, I've talked about all those bad things, but you see, that matters nothing if you make a decision to turn. That matters nothing if you make a decision. See, this turn isn't, it's about, do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? And if you don't, I would hope that you make a decision to get to know Him tonight, because He would love to meet you. He's knocking on your heart. And if you're starting to get a little feeling about right here that something's not right, that's the Lord. That's the Spirit of God tugging on you. But more importantly, the question is you as a Christian, do you live up to what you say that you do? Are you oriented towards God, or are you oriented towards this world? It's simple. I can only face one direction. If I'm walking this way, I'm facing what is in front of me, and that is the object of my attention. I cannot have one thing here and another thing behind me and give them equal attention. You can do it, but I can hardly see the tips of my arms. And if you try to spread yourself to the place that idols lay in one hand, things are elevated to the same place as God, you know what? After a while, it's going to be hard to see anything. That's why tonight is about bringing Christ to the center of your attention. Can you say this with me? It's time. One more time. It's time. It's time. We turn back to God. It's time. It's good. That's what I think we're at right now. I don't care what CNN might tell me on my television anymore. I'm more interested about what you've just said. That it's time. That this is the moment in which we no longer let things dictate our existence, but hold Jesus Christ as our one true Lord and Savior. That other things no longer crowd our hearts. There's place for one God in here. And if His name's not Jesus, it doesn't matter. Get whatever it is that's holding you back out. Tonight is a turning point. Tonight is the place in which, just like Josiah, you know what the word says about him? He stood up for what was right and went to an idol desecrated land. Sounds like our nation. His idols were made with statue and ours are made with the minds and mouths of men. And he said, this is not right. This is not the word says it should be. We're going to change. You need to get that militant attitude. People think that Christians are sissies. Do I look like a wimp to you? Do I look like a weakling? Do I look like a punk? You want to be a Christian, you got to be all out. You got to be full bore. You got to be in this stuff. You got to get militant about it. You've got to get like Josiah and say, I don't care if my land has idols. I've got Jesus in my heart, and He's going to take those idols down. This old boy, he went and he ripped them down utterly and burnt them, cast them down. You need to have that mindset. I'm going to walk into places, Lord. I'm not going to tolerate idols being worshipped. I'm going to stand up for your name. And if things get in the way, I'm going to rip them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Daniel 6, right, Wendell? He left. Never mind. Thought it was Daniel 6. I was looking for him. Anyone else know? Daniel 6, 13, I think. My question is do you know your God? Guys, go ahead and head up stage. I'm going to talk for a little longer. They're going to play for just a minute. Hope that doesn't bug you. We got Chesney playing some bongos. It's going to be sweet for the djembe out. I don't know. Now, you see, we've got the lost path. We've had a way that was lost. At one point in time, people were moving towards God, but something happened. And we find ourselves hanging on the edge of death, the place where we don't want to be, the place where churches close and aren't planted, the place where people walk away and don't come back from God, the place where idols get worship and the King of Kings doesn't get any. We have a turning point, though. Jesus calls to us and he says, I want to give you life. But you've got to let go of something. You've got to let go of yourself. You've got to turn from every other thing and give me your all. With Jesus, it's everything or nothing. Get hold of it. If you're not wanting to give him your everything, just quit. Don't play fake with God. You don't like being played fake with. Why would he? We have a turning point. His name is Jesus. He loves us. He came and he died on the cross and his blood set us free. And it gave us life and it gave us hope and it gave us promise. And he calls to us and he says, there's a narrow path. Will you take a walk with me? You know what Jesus says? Now people say he comes in my heart. Well, I have a little bit different idea about that. The Bible never specifically says Jesus comes in your heart. He says, I'm going to be with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And we say we ask Jesus in our heart. That's okay. I'm just saying, Jesus says, I want to be with you always, even unto the end of the age if you hold my commission. He's going to rock with you every step. And he's wanting to walk with you on this narrow path. He's wanting to walk with you so you can get to know him. You see, if you walk on railroad tracks just by yourself, it's hard to walk. But if you hold hands with someone else, it gets a lot easier on the other side of the track. He's wanting to walk with you. He's wanting to save this nation. It's not God's will that any would perish, but all might come into repentance. He wants to save this country. He wants to save this county. He wants to save every crack house and drug dealer's place in this county. And he's waiting for someone to say, I will turn my heart to you, God. And it says about Josiah, he turned wholeheartedly to God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength. Mark 12:30 says this, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. With your everything. My question is, have you been holding back? If you hold back an inch from him, he does not have you. That's why we talk about faith. We say faith is jumping off the cliff of life into God's arms and just not looking. You need to let go and just jump. God wants you. He wants to use you. He wants to change your family. He wants to change your heart. He wants to heal your hurt. He wants to set right broken places in your life. He wants to change your school. He wants to change your friends. He wants to change this county. But it will not happen unless we turn to him like Josiah and say, if it costs me popularity by ripping some people's idols down, I don't care. And if it costs me not being cool, I don't care, because I'm more interested in God's approval, not yours. And if it costs me my everything, I know that I'll get everything in return, because the thing that I thought that I had was really nothing. My question to you is, are you turned towards something other than God, or are you turned towards him? You've got one direction. You have one option to point yourself towards. My question is, are you oriented towards God? Tonight, this nation will begin to turn. It starts with you. God said in his word in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, their idols, then I would heal from here from heaven and come heal their land. Listen to this again. If my people, those who are oriented towards me, who are turned towards me, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear you from heaven and come heal your land. God wants to heal your land. He wants to heal your family. He wants to heal your heart, but you've got to turn towards him and turn away from your sin, from your stupid idols. I'm not going to say that sometimes when you're walking on that road, you're going to trip and you're going to fall. The Word of God says, I think it's in Psalm 37, though the righteous may fall, he will never be utterly cast down. This word is interesting right there. For the Lord upholds him. Listen to that again. Though the righteous may fall, he will never be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his right hand. That's a little bit paraphrased, but that word upholds means the act of leaning upon someone. So that you can't fall when you're walking on the narrow road, because Jesus Christ, you're leaning upon him and he's upholding you. My question is your heart in line with God, or is it in line with idols? Tonight's at 1 Kings 18:9, just like Elijah, he said, you serve God or you serve Baal. Pick one. On this night you will choose. And I know I speak forcefully and angry. Don't think I'm mad at you. Don't think I'm trying to speak hate at you. I'm just giving you a chance to have real life. It's either everything or nothing, oriented towards the world or oriented towards God. Your question is who are you turned to? On this night, pick who you choose. I choose to turn towards God. I know some of you in this room have done that. At cost of your friends, at cost of your family. You said, I'm going to turn towards you, Jesus. It doesn't matter if I'm cool anymore. And you know what the amazing thing happened was? Other people started turning themselves. Other people started turning themselves at William Law High School. See, when you turn, you move into a new path, shows other people the option of that path. You see, if you're walking this way and another trail is behind you, you're never going to see it until someone stops and looks at it and starts going that way. If you stop yourself from idols and move towards God, others will see you and move with you. You have the opportunity to be the turn in your school. God's looking down from heaven. He's been calling out to men and women since Isaiah 6:10. Who will go for me? Whom will I send as a messenger to the nations? And I hope that some of you, just like Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Send me. Are we turned towards him, or are we turned towards the world? I'm going to read this verse one more time about Josiah. We're going to pray. Never before. I believe God's wanting to have a never before move in this county. I believe God's wanting to have a never before move in Loudoun County. Never before. Never before have kids prayed in the schools. Never before have classes been shut down because so many kids are getting saved. Never before. Never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned. This word means to utterly shift in direction. To shift around. To utterly stop from what you're doing and move a new direction. Never had someone turned like that to the Lord. Not to some stupid, fat, 600-pound Asian god. Not to Allah, but to the Lord. To Jesus Christ. With all his heart, all his soul, and strength, and obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. It is my prayer that you, right now, in your heart, you're getting that feeling. You're saying, I want to turn to you. It's my hope that you say, I'm going to turn towards you, God. I'm going to give you my everything. I'm going to either say all or nothing. I'm going to go all out. I'm going to turn towards you with all your heart. Every single inch of your being moving toward him. All your strength and power. And all your soul. Every inch of your existence oriented towards the King of Kings. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you do that. You might lose some friends. You know, it takes work to chop down idols. But who cares? Because we've got God with us. Because we've got him on the narrow path beside us. Because he's moving with us. Now my question is to you, as we all stand up in the building, get ready to pray. You guys don't mind, go ahead and stand on up. My question to you in this moment is, first off, this. Do you even know this Jesus that I've spoken of? Do you know His love? Do you know Him? Does He live on your bracelet? Is not the question I'm asking. Do you have the shirt? Is not what I'm wanting to know. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you utterly know who He is, and that He saved you, and that He loved you, and that He came to this earth to die so you wouldn't have to go to hell? There's a place called hell, but there's a guy named Jesus who saves it from us. Do you know Him? And the question that supersedes that in my mind, that's the first thing. You need to know that. If you don't know Him, you can't even turn. You saying, I give my life to Jesus, is that whoop to juke for you guys who play football. Jesus, I give my life to you. Start you towards that narrow path. But is there anything in your life keeping you from having God's everything? Does He have every single inch, thread, fiber, particle of your existence? And if He doesn't, you haven't met the qualifications for being a disciple. Whomsoever wants to follow me will turn from his selfish ways, take up a cross. Who wants to hold on to his life, he'll lose it. But those who give it away will receive it. If you don't turn from your selfish ways and take up an instrument of death, putting your old life to death and take up Jesus, you defaulted. I'm sorry. Lukewarm Christianity can't stay, because this nation's getting turned back to God. We're going to turn. We're going to orient ourselves towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe because of your testimony, you, not me, not the youth pastor, but you, because you say, I'm turning to you, God. Because you say, I'm going to give you my everything. Others are going to see the path and turn themselves. But the million-dollar question, the question of the moment, you see, it's easy to sit in our seats and just be like, yeah, that's me. There's something about stepping out. There's something about saying, God, I make a statement. I want my friends to see. Verb, it's a movement, it's a motion that you do every single day. And when you take every step towards God, that's you living out the turn that you started years ago, maybe minutes ago for you. Tonight, America gets back on the tracks with your heart. What I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start praying. I'm not going to pressure you to do anything. If you want to come up here, there's people that want to pray with you. There's people that want to pray over you, strength and protection. But you see, the important thing is, it's not someone about praying for you. It's the question is, are you going to pray to God and make the statement, Lord, I turn towards you. I give all these things away. And if you make that statement, I want you to call them out to Him. God, I've not gave this away. You know what you're holding back from Him. You know what's keeping you from being turned completely towards Him. Because a turn isn't complete until you're oriented in another direction. So to go towards hell, to move towards God and stop right here, you're not completely turned. I'm going to start praying. If that's you, if you just want to pray, maybe you've got a sickness in your body. You need healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is alive and He heals people. Believe in the name of Jesus, your body will be healed. I know I didn't tell you, I don't have to go in depth to it. Jesus is alive. That's all I got to say about that. If you want to pray, don't let anyone stop you. When I'm going to start praying, you just come on up here. Just step out of your seat. Let's turn towards God. Let us turn towards Him. This is the night in which this county gets turned back to the Lord. I'm going to start praying. Come on up here and meet me. And as we start praying, you just feel free to be dismissed. Wednesday night youth, it's great. More importantly, are you going to turn towards God with your everything, every inch of your fiber? I'm going to pray. Come up here if you want to pray. Father God, I thank you for this night, Lord. I thank you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as people are already beginning to move and come up here and make a statement that they're going to orient their lives completely towards your existence, God. I pray that those sitting in seats would have faith to step out, Lord. I know it's scary. I know it's hard. But Lord, I pray that you would begin to be with these young men and women who are making a statement that they're going to orient their lives towards you. Lord God, I thank you for their faith. Lord, I thank you for turning towards God. I thank you for hearts who want to serve you. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, give them strength to stand. Give them the ability to call out, God, I'm going to give you my everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God, we commit this time and we release it into your hands. And Lord, let us all walk out of here, turn completely towards you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Guys, we're going to start praying with these people up here. Just feel free to worship, to hang out. We're going to dismiss. We're going to keep worshiping the Lord as we pray. Thank you for coming. Let's all be turned towards God with our everything. Let's turn back to Him.